Yo, 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 Cuvalin, welcome back to Chicanx vs. Aliens podcast. I'm so glad that you guys have decided to come back to episode 3. Wow, here we are with so much support, so many people getting down on the podcast. I've had so many people contact and listen and decide that they want to support the podcast, and I'm super stoked. Muchas gracias. Straight up, big up to all the people who've come and step forward. I want to send a big shout out to Feliz Creatives. If you guys ever have any need for a graphic designer or any kind of work like that, Feliz Creatives, Gabby Flores, graphic designer, is the person that you need to look for. She hooked it up with the logo, she hooked it up with the t-shirts, she hooked it up with the stickers, and so now all I had to do was order the stickers, the t-shirts, and boom, here I had was covered with merch. How wonderful. And I want to send a big old shout out to everybody who pre-ordered t-shirts. I'm really stoked that you guys decided to support the podcast, and I'm so glad that you guys even listened to it. And so thank you so much. Big shout out to Arturo Bars, Cassie Correa, John Medina, Angel Garza, Yen, Jack Marie, Manny Bang, Samira, my mom, my dad, because they bought some shirts and shit. Melinda, who else? Jeremy, all these cats who straight up bought t-shirts, and I'm so excited that you guys decided to support the podcast. Ricardo Briones, we're working on something. Word up. But Chicanx versus Alien podcast. This is a podcast for the LGBTQ, the black and the brown, and so those voices that can be heard. I'm super, super happy that we've been able to make some contact. I have some stuff in the works, y'all. You have no idea. A family who has been hiding, or not really hiding, but just kind of keeping on the low, an abduction, an alien abduction story. A homeboy, a DJ that I know, local DJ that everybody knows. His family and his grandma have been experiencing tons of paranormal things happening in the house. I'm super, super stoked that I've been able to make these contacts. Of course, I couldn't have done it without all y'all support. This summer is getting hot. But y'all already know, like, we have all kinds of things worked up. Big shout out to everybody who's really listened to the podcast and have checked it out. I want to send a shout out to my family and my friends. I've been meeting up with a lot of y'all. Everybody's asking me about the podcast. I'm super grateful. And this really was just something that was just kind of putting together to just be kind of really chill. But you know what? Because of y'all, it is really happening. Super stoked. Thank y'all. Episode 3. Yes, Chicanx versus Aliens podcast. Thank y'all. Let's get into it. All right. All right, y'all. So I would like to get started with this podcast, just telling a little story about what I've seen recently and just some of the conversation that I've had that has compared to the stories that I have actually been talking to with other families and folks. So we're talking today with some friends and some family of mine, Vicente Camacho, Sul Lopez. I'm super excited that they decided to come forward and talk to me and have a conversation. So what we ended up doing was going to the aqueducts and here in San Antonio, which is on the south side, close to the what was known as the Ghost Tracks, and just south side of San Antonio. The south side of San Antonio has a long and old history that is connected around the missions of San Antonio. If you go to the south side, you will definitely run into the missions of San Antonio. These missions are over 300 years old. They are made with brick and cement and things that have been developed from the land, the ground, adobe, cement. I mean, indigenous people, indigenous wars, fighting amongst Spanish and indigenous, Texas American, Texas Mexican wars. I mean, there has been so much history around this whole thing. San Antonio was a hotbed for this just amazing warfare history. And it has continued. San Antonio also has tons of bases where there is tons of military family. And even to this day, these military families struggle and find themselves struggling to make the end-to-end meet. But there is a ton of military here. And the history of San Antonio is, even before it was military, it was indigenous. And slowly but surely, the indigenous people have been finding their way and telling their history here. Shout out to the Carrizo Comecrudos. Shout out to AIT, American Indians of Texas, of the Spanish Colonial Missions. They have done a lot of work to tell the history of San Antonio's indigenous history. But of course, San Antonio's military history has been very, very strongly told. And so we decided to go out to the aqueducts, which was a place where water was carved into the land to be able to feed into crops, to feed into water, drinking water. But historically has been, I guess you could say as of recently, has been known to be a hotbed for paranormal sightings, paranormal just action and things happening in the South Side. Now, I just want to say this. There has been a lot more than just paranormal in the South Side that has been cited. There has been a lot of folks that talked about werewolves. There has been a lot of folks that talk about pterodactyls. There has even been talks about the Bigfoot being sighted in the South Side. But anyway, without even knowing this kind of stuff, me, Sul, and Vicente went out to go have a conversation at the aqueducts. And before I even begin the conversation that we had at the aqueducts, which was a wonderful conversation, an amazing conversation, coming from an indigenous standpoint of view, we had this kind of conversation. So I want you guys to know that I myself, Joaquin Muerte, I've been living a life from my birthday, from my actual birth, indigenous. My mother, my father have been practicing indigenous ceremonies, and we have been talking and knowing indigenous life since then. Sul, also, who is my brother-in-law, has also been living that similar life. We kind of were raised up in a very similar fashion. Vicente Camacho is a good friend from the same hometown where Sul grew up, Hondo, Texas. Hondo, Texas is also very much a hotbed for paranormal activity. They have the Emancipation Oak. They have a lot of known brujeria, and they have also have a lot of UFO activity because the place is all, there's also an airport there. But not to say that the airport is like where UFOs go, but you know, there's no knowing, you know, whether UFOs are entering or not entering there. But having this conversation with Vicente, oh man, it got creepy really quick. So anyway, I just want to say that this conversation got really good, and I want to just quickly talk about a story that I had. So, a celebration that we had back in December 31st of 2017. January 1st of 2018, my wife and I decided to go celebrate the New Year's at Jennifer Casimira and Ari Chagoya's house. And of course, you know, we spent it, you know, just chilling, talking at a table. You know, we got over there around 10 o'clock and we were having a conversation and chilling, really enjoying each other's company. We were just, you know, chismeando and enjoying each other's company, talking about medicine and danza and like all these different things. And, you know, it was really nice to have these conversations. Of course, you know, Ari and Jennifer are so on our level, so we were just really enjoying the conversation. And then here comes the clock. You know, we're doing the count off, and it's about to become the new year. So Ari and Jennifer have a ton of kids that want to see the fireworks. They live over there by the SeaWorld area, and in that area there's tons and tons of fireworks. Not to mention that San Antonio is all about like just popping off fireworks like whenever it's time to do that. So the count off was happening. We counted to 3, 2, 1, boom. Here comes all these fireworks, and they're popping, 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 and then all kinds of, you know, after a little, like, maybe like 15 to 20 minutes, it just calms down. Y'all probably have all experienced this because this is a New Year's thing, but in Texas and in San Antonio especially, you know, these things are illegal, so people kind of do it, and it's just kind of like, oh, it's kind of a big laugh. Anyway, around, 1:45, we're hanging out in the front of Jennifer and Ari's house, and we noticed this like weird fire in the sky. We kind of all freak out. What is that? Is that a lamp? But there's no lamp. What kind of fire is that? It's like a flame just floating in the sky. Could that be a firework on fire floating through the sky? It's floating around with the steady of a drone. So it doesn't seem like a fire that is regular, but it couldn't be a drone because it was on fire. It was a fire. Like like if you were to light a log on fire and let it sit for a while, it was a fire. And so we all were just so amazed. And so Jennifer, of course, takes out her phone and starts taking pictures of it. I think my phone at the time was dead. Lucha's phone at the time was dead. Ari's phone at the time was dead. So Jennifer took pictures of it. And I remember she would just like, oh my God, I can't believe we all saw that. And so we all talked about it later. Like, oh yeah, yeah. Remember that? Remember the night of January the 1st? December 31st, the fire. And, you know, we were all super amazed. And so, so then like, I remember that. I've never forgotten that. Because we couldn't tell. But, you know, we were at the moment where it was fireworks and it was the energy around the new year. So it was kind of like, okay, is there actually a fire? Is there actually fireworks? We couldn't tell. Anyway, fast forward. It was the summer of 2018. Me and my wife were living in Hondo. We were trying to figure out what we were going to do, and we were about to move back to San Antonio. I would, of course, you know, as a mama's boy, I would call my mom every night and just talk to her about chisme, about what's going on, about her family, about my brothers, about my sisters. We loved to chisme out about things all the time. One night I was talking to her on the phone, and we were just hanging out. And again, I see that same fire in the sky in Hondo, Texas. And this is why, this is after I had already seen tons and tons of owls visiting me at the park, visiting me at the homes. I was seeing tons of owls all the time, but it's Hondo. Hondo is known for its owls. They even have the mascot called Hondo Owls. So a lot of people are like, oh yeah, well of course there's owls here. But I was interacting with these owls like, hey, you know, I would go to a park and I would see the owl, and then they would like kind of like, you know, look at me and kind of come down to the floor and walk with my dog and this kind of stuff. It was crazy. It was just the interaction between me and the owls was crazy. But of course people are just like, it's Hondo, there's owls. Okay, fine, I understand. So anyway, I was hanging outside. I was drinking a beer. I was kind of like leaning on the bed of my truck, and I saw the same fire I saw at that New Year's Day. So I was on the phone with my mom, and I said, "Mom, please, I want you just to note that right now I am seeing a fire in the sky. Not in, you know, those who are like UFO people and whatever, not the same fire in the sky that happened with the abduction of that guy. No. Just, it was a fire floating in the sky. And I couldn't tell, and I don't know if anybody can tell, but I couldn't tell if it was UFO related. I couldn't tell if it was alien related. I couldn't tell if it was paranormal. It was just a fire in the sky. What did it mean? It freaked me out. What was it that I was seeing? Anyway, I mean, a year and a half to 2 years later, a year later, I don't know, I was to talk to other people who had experienced the same thing. And a friend of mine, co-worker of mine, reached out to me because her brother was seeing the same thing. Fire crossing his parking lot in his apartment complex. He was afraid that the fire was going to come into his house. So after I started to interview people, I went to Hondo to kind of, we were like, I think it was Easter that we went to go and talk to family. And when we were talking to family, we started to have the same conversation about the fire. But the fire was more menacing than just floating around with my wife's family. That was an amazing conversation. Here's a little bit about the conversation that we had with the family and the menacing fire.
Okay, eyewitnesses, right? It was at my madrina's. We lived on 17th Street. Then there was a house next door. Then my madrina lived there, right? Okay, and then everybody started screaming, and there was a little fire going on. And it started on the wall, outer, not inner, just on the wall.
On the wall? Okay,
on the wall. Not inside, just on the wall, okay? And this was my madrina's house. And then it started, where did it plug? It started on the dresser, I told you, right?
On
the dresser, on top of the dresser, okay? Then it started traveling from the house, and they had a cuartito. Then they had an outhouse, and they had another cuartito. Well, then it went to the cuartito, and they called the fire department at that time. No, it's an electrical, you know? Well, you know what? There was no electrical in the outhouse because they didn't have a restroom. They had an outhouse. It started in there too. There was no electricity back. They didn't have a bathroom. You know, they had to use the outhouse. And then she went to my mom's and said, "Can I bring some furniture out here? A dresser, the otra dresser." And my mom got scared, right? Because the fire started.
Sí.
Dijo, no, comadre, tengo miedo que vaya a pasar eso, right? They took. The abuelitos lived over there at a ranchito. Well, they took that dresser over there. The fire started happening over there on top of the dresser. No explanation. How can you start a fire right here on the wall? Not inside, just on the wall. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It didn't burn inside. And on top of the dresser, and then it traveled to the cuartito, the outhouse, and then the other.
Y nomás ahí se quedaba la lumbre.
Estaba caminando ahí.
Quemó,
give me the explanation. El cuartito se quemó todo. There was no electricity. How can the fire department said it wasn't electrical? There was no electricity in the outhouse. Like I said, they didn't even have that was their restroom. And that was the worst thing I experienced, that I saw the fires. Se prendió todo vuelo, el cuartito y todo. But there was no electricity there.
Wow.
And they would say that too, and I saw it firsthand. And good thing, you know, my mom got scared. She said, no, I don't want you to bring the furniture over here, because they said, let's get the furniture in case they start again. Well, they took it to the ranch. The fire started over there with the furniture. No explanation, you know, how can that be?
Yeah, that's weird, man.
It
wow.
is weird.
It
is weird.
But did that woman get into anything?
Pues mi mamá decía que la señora era muy mala. Que era muy mala, so I don't know what she meant or what. Era muy mala.
Pues
I don't know if she meant something.
Es como te digo.
Pero So just another confirmation of what maybe I had experienced. Anyway, let's go ahead and get back into the conversation that Sue Lopez and Vincent Camacho and I had over at the Aqueducts. Let's go.
Dude. That is the one. Look at that set.
What up? Like look. Fucking
look. Voodoo.
Look at that.
It's so great.
Send me that. Send
no,
me
but,
that.
But,
hey, Joaquin, send
but
me
just,
that.
But wait, hold up. Yeah. But just to make a point, right? So, like, you have the check out the horizon of where we're at right here, right? Like, you have the oil refinery right here. And then you have the San Antonio Southside area, which had, like, which was host to the ghost tracks. And then you have, like, the Aqueducts, which is known for being, like, a haunted spot. And then you have all the missions around here, right? So that refinery exploded twice in the history of that refinery. It's exploded and destroyed that neighborhood. But what makes you think that something wouldn't come out from that contamination into these neighborhoods? Right. You're talking about animals, right. You're talking about plants, you're talking about things that might have, you know, be really, like, challenging to the it's what do you call that? Cycle of life, you know what I mean? They're
it disrupts the cycle.
It disrupts, yeah, for sure. You know what I'm saying? So like,
we can check it out. It'll go to the iPad.
Well, I believe
we can manipulate it with the iPad.
That, you know, there's different takes on what could happen, but I believe in the essence of things, I think if you're like a pure in tune with the soul, like with a good frequency, I think, you know, you can like have like this natural armor. This aura of protection, but I do believe there's some negative shit that comes out of all that. You know, bad things don't happen for a random reason. I think things happen because of like this juju that you create. You know, maybe the owners of that refinery were like some negative ass people who evil shit.
We should probably save that for the podcast now.
Well, I'm recording it now. We're getting all this down. Yeah.
Yeah, man.
And that's what I'm saying. You know, it's like, you know, it would make sense that, like, that maybe this spot might be a place for visitation or like for some kind of paranormal activity because of how hard it's being hit. But at the same time, it's so like, look at this nature.
That's what I'm saying. So I'm looking at the positive.
I love it.
It's hard for me to see the negative when I look at the positive. I'm like in a whole different light. But I know there is negativity, and you have to understand that. Like, it's a coin. There's two sides to everything, right?
This is one of those spots that you can see, like, you can see the whole sky, you know what I mean? Like,
it's pretty clear. It's a clear night.
Man, something's, what the fuck? Something's crawling on me, man.
But look at this. Look at nature itself, man. You know, if you actually take the time to look at what we're seeing right now, the moon is just, like, radiant. And if you look, you can see, the, you know, the shape of the rabbit in there. Then you have these stars with the hue of the city lights. You hear the sound of the crickets chirping. Like, I see nature as a beautiful thing, and I think we have to embrace that because there is the uncertainty that we also need to know and accept. But it's deep, man. Shit just gets real.
They say that, like, certain hours of the day.
3 a.m. That's, like, a high frequency.
Right, like, the veils of the spirit world open up. Yeah. But they also say, like, in the mornings or at dusk, especially around the treetops, you can see the aura of the trees.
You think we're disrespecting the spirits right now if they were to come out? What do you think that they think we're doing? If they were to come out,
that's a good question, man. Like, do you think that, say, for example, like, say we, so FYI, we're drinking some liquor and we're smoking a little bit. People are smoking. Like, do you consider that disrespecting the spirits? I don't know, right? Because the thing is that this is our existence of what we are doing.
They're elements from the earth.
And even if they're not, like, natural things, like, this is a process of who we are as people, right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, some of the spirits probably did some of these things back in the day too, right? So my question is like, well, do you feel like spirits are feeling like that we were disrespecting them? Like, in my opinion, no. I don't think that spirits feel like we're disrespecting them, but I feel like maybe they do feel like, yo, we're on the terrain. They're probably going to make themselves known. That kind of feeling. But, like, I don't feel like they look at us maybe partaking in these kind of things as a disrespect. But I do feel like it maybe lessens the interaction. It lessens the...
Well, you know, the fact that if we are going to be drinking, you know, from our culture that we've been taught, all of us here with that background, we should always offer an offering, which we didn't do. So maybe we are disrespecting in some sense because, you know, we should give a little
bit. Well, let's offer it now. What do we got? Yeah, let's do it. What do you got? Just pour a little bourbon out for... You see, we got some bourbon. We're going to pour it out for the spirits.
For the corn, for the wheat that the mother, you know, Tonantzin gave us, you know, Mother Earth. You know, we'll give some to that, you know, with this this good moonlight lighting up the sky. And
the moon is super intense, though, right now. This is ridiculous.
What is y'all's take on this? They say you're not supposed to wear hats, you know, that it blocks the third eye. We're wearing beanies and caps and stuff. Maybe we should take that off to let the third eye get some of that lunar light.
I'm trying, if I take it off, but I feel like I'm trying to keep my hair intact.
Yeah, no, man. I mean, I think it just depends on what you're actually doing and what we're actually doing as far as like being disruptive to the spirits or to nature, to, you know, just everything around us. And I don't feel like we're doing anything, you know, terribly bad. So I think we'll be all right, you know.
Well, then this is the other thing. Like, you're talking about us disrupting nature and all that stuff, and there's this helicopter passing by us.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I wonder what they're looking for. Looking for someone.
Well, somebody was popping off some guns a little earlier. Yeah.
No, it's a little sketchy right now where we're at, but it's all good.
What do you think, man? Let's walk a little bit more further.
It's up to you.
Let's just take another little walk. Do you want to go back to the bridge and set up some chairs?
You can go to the bridge, man.
Let's go set up the bridge and the chairs.
The bridge vibe was good, dude. Cool. I felt like a high energy.
I think the closer to the water we are, the better. Maybe some energy.
Water's flowing.
Let's take some take some pictures at the water. Yeah. But I must say that this is definitely a beautiful night, man. To do something kind of like this, it's wonderful. Do you smell that? I smell some bud.
Yeah, bro.
That's me. As long as I'm not a skunka, dude, fucking.
There's no telling, man, what's out here right now. It's pitch black.
Yeah, and it's funny because the last time I was at one of these trails, a fucking snake popped up and... Sorry. Nah, but it saw me walking and it went back into its little lair. It's back into the grass.
Yeah, right now is the time, man, for snakes to come out for sure.
I mean, he looked at you cold. And he was like, nah, you're
it's
cool,
too cold.
Man.
They don't come out in the cold.
He was like, nah, bro, you're cool, man. I ain't gonna mess with you, man.
It's all good right now. You ain't gotta worry about snakes.
Yo, but I feel like the darker it gets, the more mysterious it gets. You know what I mean?
For sure.
Yeah, we're about to walk into some serious darkness. Which is the area where the bridge is, but the moon's really high and it's really tight, so you can't, it's not like super super dark. It won't be fully dark.
Imagine having to walk this like back in the early 1700s.
When they were just first building this trail, right?
And there was no trail. Like when there was nothing, it was just water. Imagine the people that were coming through here at that time. I don't think native people ever feared anything.
Well, you know, I think that they had an understanding and they had an agreement. You know what I'm saying?
To them, this was like beautiful. It was like, I bet you they enjoyed this. They smiled coming out in the dark, looking at the moon and playing in the, like, they just enjoyed it. It was cool, you know, refreshing, the water.
What is that noise? Hold up.
Sounded like some kind of like...
That's what I'm saying. Sound like a hum, right? Like someone's humming, yeah.
And the helicopter.
Well, so there's like a live music venue just down the street from here. It sounds like they're doing like live music just outside their spot. So you can hear it. Not to discount that we might be hearing some other stuff, but if you do catch something on this, let us know. Ooh, that's kind of freaky. So we were walking onto the bridge, one of the most darkest parts of the aqueduct. And the water's flowing. It's really dark. It's a pink moon, April 19th. I think this is the fullest of the moon this evening. Let's right here, let's park right here for a minute. Let's take a couple pictures, right? Can y'all take a couple pictures? The last picture we took over, which was kind of, we took about a few steps away from the aqueducts. There was an orb on my back, and I'll post that picture a little later.
crazy bridge.
So I guess I'm not even sure what the history of the aqueducts are.
Well, I know it was like the 1700s, the late 1700s, and you know they really built it for like, you know, crops. That's what the
damming stuff.
Yeah, the damming. Yes, the damming started.
You know, we had a discussion the other day. We're actually anti-dam. Me and a bunch of our buddies, because just imagine if all the rivers were flowing like through all Medina County, Bear County, everywhere. Just the water was just.
I think they had to redirect it.
No, they didn't have to, because I think Earth itself. Yeah. Like, just imagine if everything was left alone. That's the kind of take we had. Not to knock anything with human engineering and crops and stuff, but all these rivers would be full of fucking water right now. Everything would be nice, lush green.
I mean, that their meaning was to redirect the water to certain areas for the irrigation. But you know, like you said, I mean,
what's your whole take on the border wall? This is going to tie in there. Yeah. What's your take on the border wall? Well, being that the fact that there's certain animals that are going to get blocked off from going to the Rio Grande to get water.
I definitely feel like the border wall is an interruption of the ecosystem.
Exactly. That's sure. Where I think.
Aside from like human trade and the kind of like the natural flow of human trade.
Yeah.
But just the animal aspect about it. Think about that though. Like all the black bear that are out there, the deer.
Yeah.
The coyotes, you know, everything.
Well, it's crazy because sometimes they will cross into town and people freak out and they'll kill them, or they'll like freak out and they'll like they'll cage them. And it definitely disrupts like the ecosystem. But on top of everything, I feel like trade is like the choking, like the trade and the like NAFTA and CAFTA and all that is the choking of the natural existence of our flowing in and out of those areas of town. You know, I mean, those areas of the world.
I don't think a river should be a border. You know, it should be, you know, it's just, it's a border.
And that's what I was going to say, too. Like, the river is something that's, like, you know, the river is something that's, like, important to who we are as far as our existence and our water and all that stuff, man. I didn't realize how big this little spot is right here. Cassie, can you take a picture over here?
She's over there.
Oh. Yeah, that's good. Take a picture out into that depth of this, like, water spot right here. I think the flash will maybe let us see what it is. Wow.
You have to move a little closer. Like, put your hands out.
I see that. What does that look like?
No, I didn't come out that good. Let me try.
Oh, it's mine?
So what do you think, like, as far as, like, extraterrestrial activity in San Antonio, you think, like, a place like this would be, like a good spot for that?
I think it would be, because, you know, the base is right there, too, right?
Yeah, you got
the airport is right there? What do you think?
The airport's right there. Yeah. I mean, I know they say
San Antonio's military city, dude, Air Force.
For sure. And I think that might be another reason why, you know? A lot of Air Force. A lot of military. But yeah, I mean, for sure, I definitely think where we're at right now would be a perfect spot for it.
As helicopters flying over us.
You know what's crazy? I mean, not to go on a negative note, it's like right now we're chilling on this bridge, doing like good things, doing this podcast and doing, you know, speaking and just hanging out, you know, like what normal human beings should do. We're creatures, right? But it's crazy how there can be some negative shit going on. Imagine if it wasn't us here and some like fucking crazy guy was here doing some crazy shit. You know, we just leave it at that. You know, let the mind wander.
Right.
It's like, it's fucking nuts, man. Like, the earth is crazy. It's like good and evil walking on this planet at all times. It's crazy how it's like intertwined.
Yeah, I feel that too, man. But I also kind of feel like I think these places might be like a hotbed for what is like extraterrestrial activity, because it's like these areas are like untouched, unseen.
Yeah, I mean, there's several different reasons I think why they would come this way or be in this area, but I mean, it's crazy, man. You really never know.
Hondo's the same way, right? Like
Hondo's the same way. Yeah, yeah. Airport as
but
well.
But I think there's hot spots all over. You can't discredit anything because I think Earth itself is a hot spot.
Yeah.
You know, there's look at the pyramids in Egypt. But we have in Mexico.
You kind of have to look back to why. Why would they come? Right. That's the reason. Right. Why are they here? Why are they coming? What are they looking for? Is it resources or, you know, what's the motive?
What I'm saying, there's been like what I have heard that is that the Earth was a place where they were going to create harvest. So like it was a place that they were going to like plant and maintain food.
Oh, for sure.
And then harvest, and so the humans were put at the task,
right,
of harvesting and maintaining and harvesting the plant life. So then it was going to be about like the harvest, and so then
so
the
we're
planet,
the farmers.
So we're the farmers. Oh, we're the shit. Farmers. Yeah, so I'm saying we're the campesinos,
right,
of what is like the. The aliens like food source, maybe like one sure. of food sources, but like so then and but then we became like hormigas and we started to take over like areas, you know what I mean? And yeah. So like now we're like abstract beings and we're looking for certain kind of answers and that kind of thing.
Are you dipping into the fact that there's a possibility that we were created by aliens?
I sort of believe that we are created by aliens, and then it makes sense because if you think about like if you look at the creation stories of the indigenous people, right? The creation stories always have these like these goddesses or like these deities
right.
that have like these super powers that whenever we think about the investigations of aliens and entities that are bigger than who we are, like they have the power similar to what we believe that aliens have the power to do, like, you know, flying saucers, like the ability to control weather, that kind of thing. And so like I feel like deities themselves might be like, especially like if you look at the Aztec codices,
yeah,
like those might be something that is like similar to what when people testify about extraterrestrial life, and I feel like maybe that there might be a coincidence. I don't know if it is or not. You know, who is to tell that that's the truth?
The theories are badass, though. I love to like just listen to different theories and have
but
my own.
It's crazy how we haven't had any not to interrupt, yeah. but it's crazy how we haven't had any actual contact with any. Life force outside
who
of Earth.
Who says that? Who says
that's what I'm saying. Like, oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
But who says that's true?
Well, that's exactly. I know it's probably controlled by the government if anything does happen.
Sure.
But you would assume that, like, right now in this position that we're in, that, you know, that something would come down. I think there's shit, but maybe it gets hushed.
Well, I mean,
it's possible.
You know, like, we go tell, who do we tell? Like, say right now, let's hypothetically, an alien comes right now and we talk to them. What's the first thing we're going to do? Do we tell anybody?
What would you do?
I don't think I'd say anything. I don't think I would. I think I'd make peace with it and be like, I know that there is nothing, or whatever he told me, there's questions I'd ask, but I would come to the assumption that there is no heaven or hell after this life. I just met an alien. And for my own inner peace, I guess I'd keep that, you know, I wouldn't want it. Because think about this. If you told people there was aliens, religion wouldn't exist. I think chaos would happen. And then who knows, man? Like,
what about you, Sam? What would you say? Like, if an alien were to come down to talk to you, what would you do?
If it were like to come and actually talk to me, I mean, you would have to like, you know, respond. What is he asking me? What's really going on here? As far as like actual communication with an alien in front of you is one thing, and like, I mean, I know I've told you before, but I've had an instance where I was younger, and you know, I know what I saw. So, I mean, it's not actual, like, communication as far as, like, I can see you right in front of me, but I know that something was there, you know what I mean?
Well, so tell me, So,
at this moment, I was realizing that Vicente had a story to tell me about a UFO that he saw, and so I decided to ask him a little bit more about what he saw. Of course, the conversation at that moment wasn't, like, really allowing itself. So me and Vicente later on met up just to kind of talk about what had happened. And this is what he said.
So I was probably about 10, 11 years old. I remember it was like a mid 90s, early 90s, somewhere around there.
Where?
Yeah, I grew up in Hondo, man. It's a pretty small town. I'm sure you're familiar. It's like really not much to do, so I would stay at my friend's house pretty late, about 2-3 in the morning, and it was pretty, I would like do the same thing over and over again. It's whenever we would hang out, we would just do the same shit. I'd go down the same road every night. I'd come home 1-2 in the morning,
same routine over and over again, you know. And it was just like one night I remember coming home, leaving his house, coming out the back door, walking out, and kind of hearing like a buzzing noise. And so his house is only like 2 blocks away from mine, right? So it's not too far, but I hear the buzzing noise as I'm walking out, getting a little bit closer to my house and closer to this other house that, you know, I've walked past it, you know, 1,000 times. And I already knew the situation. I knew what it looked like. I knew the sounds. I knew everything. So it should have been the same every time, because it's like 2 in the morning and it's super quiet, right? So I'm hearing this buzzing noise and I get closer to the house. And to me, it sounds like, you know, a street light or whatever it is that's kind of going out, the bulb's going out. And so I'm trying to like associate the sound, you know what I mean, with what I'm hearing and what I'm thinking it could be, you know. And so I'm hearing this noise and I'm getting a little bit closer, it's getting a little bit louder. And this house that's on the corner, which is like right underneath that big street light, it's like lit up, like on the top of the house. I just remember the whole thing is just lit up in the sky, like just a big, huge, bright light. And as I got closer, I could see and I can hear that noise was coming from that big, huge ball of light. So I just stopped dead in my tracks, you know, just try to figure out, assess the situation, try to, you know, figure out what the hell's going on. And I mean, probably 10 seconds, 15 seconds, and it just like shot up straight in the air. The noise like was gone completely. It was gone. Like there was no trail left behind at all. And so I'm still there, just standing there, just trying to figure out what the hell is going on, right? And so I start walking and I get back to my house and I call my friend, I call my homie, and I'm like, man, dude, you're not going to believe, you know, what the hell I just saw. And I couldn't figure it out. And I was like, I can't sleep, man. I don't know what to do. I want to tell somebody, you know? And so I end up telling him and he's like, man, it's cool, man. Just chill out. Just relax. Try to go to sleep or whatever. And I was like, so frightened. I remember that night that I woke up my mom and I told her, you know, what I saw. And she's like, you know, just go to sleep, me. You know, she tried to calm me down and cool me down. And I was like, dude, there's no way. There's no way in hell. I'm pretty sure I didn't sleep till about, you know, I went to bed probably like 5 or 6 in the morning that night because I was trying to figure it out. And so the next day, I'm just trying to still kind of figure out what the hell is going on, what the hell it is I saw. You know, it's not like I wouldn't explain it like any kind of like airplane or any kind of aircraft. It's just a big ball of light with the, you know, loud humming sound, you know. And so I tell my mom again, you know, and I tell her, hey, you know, this happened to me last night. I don't want you to think, you know, we're doing it. I mean, I was young, dude. I was like 12 years old. So it's not like as if we were drinking like heavily or, you know, doing any crazy drugs or anything. So I was pretty straight minded. And she's telling me, you know, her stories as well. And it was kind of refreshing to hear my mom be like, okay, you're not a weirdo, or, you know, you didn't see something, like, or, you know, kind of like just talk it down, basically. She kind of just ended up telling me a story that she had as well when she was growing up at her sister's house. And so it was pretty similar, you know. And I mean, it's like Hondo is this crazy little town, like nothing really happens, and it's basically, it's a routine in that small town. Like everybody does the same thing over and over and over and over and over again. So you're like, you're used to that, you know what I mean? So when something like that happens, I guess it's like, kind of question yourself, you know what I mean? And like, I guess also, we didn't grow up with a lot of money. So it was like certain things that we said or certain things that we brought up that we do, people would be like, I don't know. It was just like, it was hard to explain, you know what I'm saying? It's just weird. But that was it, man. It was pretty crazy.
So the crew decided to continue on to the Espada area and have a similar conversation. We met up over at the old mesquite tree, kind of right dead center of Espada area. But we had already kind of been through a lot that evening, and we were feeling really like just overwhelmed with feelings. And so anyway, this is the conversation we had right there.
You know, they fucking, they whipped all the native people here. They're just whipping them and killing them at these churches, dude.
Yeah, this was definitely created from the blood of indigenous people for sure.
So the Spanish are the ones that came, huh?
The Spanish they were the ones that came, and they kind of like created this like these churches
on top of
a ceremonial grounds, yeah. Right.
But they're also the ones that colonized
But
the Spanish colonized the natives, right, to get them to basically build a dam. They built the dams as well, right?
But it was all for Native American labor, dude. They forced them.
Yeah, it was slave labor for sure.
Yeah, it was. I'm sure.
So come on, let's get the
truck open.
But that's why I feel like this is possible grounds for indigenous ghosts, indigenous like
spirits.
Come this way. This is crazy, like Mission Espada on a full moon, on the pink moon. The energy is crazy here.
Yeah, man, 419, right before 420.
Yep. Look at these grand, giant mesquite trees.
The full moon alone is like sending off this crazy energy.
We should take some pictures here, man.
Hey, how many native people do you think have came through here and sat on these trees underneath the shade?
For sure. How old do you think this tree is?
Oh, man. I mean, over 100. Sure. It's like the 1700s. I mean,
200 geez. Years old. Look at the shape. You know, I've never actually seen a mesquite this big in my life.
Did you bring your camera?
Yeah, I brought it. Take a few pictures. All right. Cool. Yeah, man.
Look at that, dude. Look at how that bark twists in itself, man.
That's crazy. Some people don't appreciate the size of this tree. To them, it's just a tree, but there's a story behind this, and it's seen so many things. If this tree could talk, it would tell you a million stories.
The history of this whole place, man.
You know, it's like a bittersweet type of environment that we have here, because it's like, you know of the negative shit that happened, but like on a historic note, it's like you want to know what happened. So it's kind of like that flip side, you know. Just like there's a lot of stories to be told here, but there are some sad things.
It was the beginning though, man. It really was like the beginning of a lot of things for San Antonio and this area, you know what I mean? Like, to think about like what you said, the Native Americans, is like, they built this, man.
Not by choice though.
At the same time, they still
under slavery for sure.
Yeah, but at the same time, they still did it, and without them, you know, just wouldn't have been here, dude. Pretty crazy.
But it's kind of crazy how, like, it's just kind of gets swept under the rug, man. You know,
people
talk
about
Native Americans and stuff, but here in San Antonio, people don't talk about the truth and the depth that it went, man. Like, this is, like, native land. San Antonio is native land. They roamed this. They hunted it. They took care of it. You know, for
harvest,
everything, you know, it was taken care of. The water was clear. You know, if you're actually going to the history, there was no diseases, there was nothing going on over here, man. This was purity at its finest. They took what they needed, they didn't take too much, they hunted. And then, you know, to have these Spaniards come over here from that Western civilization of greed and corruption and just taking everything, and this was built. So, like I said, you know, it's kind of bittersweet. Like, I understand and I appreciate the architecture and the buildings, but it's just hard to swallow the fact that
this is a beautiful mission, but at the same time, we know that it's built on the blood and the backs of indigenous people.
Our people.
Our people, who we are, yeah, for sure.
And, you know, and I've been told stories that, you know, that people of mestizo Mexican descent, how we all fight battles. All of us have had battles, us three right here, you know, and it's because there's a fight between us, inside of us, between right. that Spanish and that native blood in us. It's like there's a fight all the time going on because it's never going to settle. It's like two chemicals being put together that weren't supposed to be put together, and they're contained in a glass vial. That's what's going on.
It's a never-ending battle. You know? Yeah. And the sad thing is that San Antonio is a place that indigenous people are still very fully unaware of who they are as original indigenous people. So they fight for territory because they can't even claim who they are as indigenous people because they don't know.
Yeah.
So we're struggling to completely understand who we are, and fully claim ourselves as a certain tribe or a certain nation. And because we've been boxed under the whole idea that we are Hispanic or we're Mexican,
which we're not.
And we're not. Yeah, we're not. We're not. We're fully indigenous. But how do we even begin to tell that story? And then to me, the mission Espada is 100% the symbol of that genocide,
colonialism,
yeah. Genocide of who we understand who we are.
Right.
And people come over here pretty regularly to have birthdays and parties. Yeah, yeah. And fiesta. It's crazy, yeah. Fiesta. But it's crazy, man.
They've accepted the paw on top of them, you know, kind of just being conquered, and you're happy with it. But it's not their fault because a lot of people are misinformed. They don't know what's going on.
Well, yeah, we've just been completely
they took away our culture.
Completely disconnected from.
Did they say when the Spaniards got to Mexico City with the Aztecs, they burnt all their books? All of the history, even when they got here, they burnt everything that we knew, the stories of our grandfathers, handed down from their grandfathers. They burnt it all. We lost everything, and you know,
it's like what are we basing our history off of, right?
Sometimes we don't know.
Sometimes we don't know.
It sucks. We've been accustomed to having to fight for everything. That's where it comes from, man. All like you said, all the struggles and everything that we've been through, it's like we're so accustomed to having to fight for what it is that we want or what we believe in. It's terrible, man. It shouldn't be that way.
And the funny thing is that whenever we're at places like Fiesta or at some kind of gig, some kind of spot that's happening downtown, and they're just these fucking punks are fucking this, and they want to fight everybody, and it's just we're a history of wanting to fight back all the time. Yeah, man. We've always had that fucking energy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, dude, it's what it is. So once we feel threatened in any kind of way, that's our natural reaction. We don't. It's like fight or flight, but we don't fly, man.
We want to fight, man. We want to fight.
It is, and it's just but at the same time though, Fiesta, it's like, oh man, it's hard to say because it's good for the city.
Fiesta is based on. It's the law. It's like Mexico getting conquered. That's what we're celebrating.
Sure.
For sure.
And it's fucked up that a lot of native people, brown colored people, not to make it a race thing, but it's like celebrating the loss of losing our land. Basically, what it came down to.
No, for sure. Fiesta is definitely confirmed as a battle that we are we have lost.
Yeah.
And it's funny because when we look at it, we celebrate it, but in the same time. Fiesta is such an alcohol and trash food driven kind of a situation that it's kind of we're losing again and again and again. So it's the culture of us losing. You know what I mean? We're celebrating the losing of our culture.
We're just feeding the machine, basically. Exactly. But at the same time, it's the machine that kind of feeds us, man.
Yeah, I know, it's weird, dude. I know.
Because at the same time, man, this is our city, dude. It's San Antonio, and this is where we live.
But sometimes
at the same time,
that's why it goes back to psychedelic drugs. You need to kill the ego. You have to, open your mind and expand it that we don't need to feed into this bullshit, you know? It's all a fucking lie. And if you understand that and you learn to live at peace just with nature and the simplicity of things and family and friends, you can get past all that bullshit, dude.
That's true, man. You know, and I think that psychedelic drugs can possibly do that to us, but what does it mean when a whole city is so far gone into what is?
You need to pass mushrooms to everybody.
I'm
serious. That's what we do. You gotta do a Batman, infuse the water, let everybody drink it, and then people rise.
No, I mean, I can't even imagine what having to deal with the way things were back then, and being on
whatever it is you could take just dude, so I can even only imagine what our great grandparents fight with everything, man.
Imagine what our great grandparents went through. Think about it. Even our grandparents, just that generation.
Oh yeah, and war, like World War II, Vietnam, all of that stuff. All these guys are fed crazy things stories, just to have to deal with it.
But check
it,
this
man.
Out. I've heard stories where brown people went to World War II and they never got the Medal of Honor. They sacrificed themselves, saved people, and they never got anything because you know what? We didn't have the right complexion. And it's sad, you know. And you know, I think
that makes total sense because, like, us as people are still in the fucking war, dude. We're still dealing with that war. We're still trying to figure all that shit out.
Yeah. Huh? So I don't know, but it's always going to be out. Like,
I think the atrocity that took place here when they killed 20 million Native Americans, Andrew Jackson, and you know, Custer and all these guys, they don't want to talk about that shit. And the fucked up thing is that we didn't get conquered. We were a loving people who got taken advantage of, and that's what happened. You know, we were open and we were like, hey, you know, y'all are human beings. And it's not all white people. I'm just saying, at the time Europeans came over here, they conquered us, and the worst thing, they murdered 20 million people. That's more than what happened in the Holocaust over there in Israel, you know, with the Jewish people in Germany, Poland, all that shit. And you know, it's fucked up to say, I'm not trying to point fingers and saying that we should come first, but slavery happened later on down the road, and it's kind of like blacks are getting taken care of more than the native people of this land because they understand how deep this shit is. They took us off our land, the Trail of Tears, all that shit, man. They put us on, if you've ever been to a reservation, it is the saddest, most depressing places to be, man.
Yeah.
It's just alcoholism, drugs, crime. Dude, and now all this shit, all these women missing from all these reservations, it gets deep, man. You know, it's sad, and it's not to point fingers. I have love for our black brothers. I have love for our white, our Asian brothers, everybody, man. But it's just sad that there's so much separation and you know, just the despair that's taking place, man.
We are definitely in a uphill battle.
It is.
And so that's kind of like why it's difficult for people to talk about, like, you know, spirits and things like that, and you know, we talk about extraterrestrials and UFOs, and our voice is typically always never heard no matter what. So when it comes to crazy things like that, it's like for sure they're not listening to nothing we're saying, man. So that's what's like,
well, maybe they're watching us, the turmoil and like the demise of us as a human race, because we're always fighting.
Well, not only that, we are discounted as people, because
for sure
people are just like, yo, okay, everything's fucking scary for you. But it's just like, the truth is that we have a strong mysticism because of how connected to the earth we are.
Oh, yeah.
And so then we are like the remnants of who we are as people. Like, we are like the leftovers of the Mexican, of the indigenous, of the land keepers. Sure. And so, like, because us as quote unquote Hispanics, we're still feeling the remnants of what is that we, our spiritual elders, were basically like calling on. They were like, yeah, fucking, man, calling onto the earth and calling on these spirits. And so then, like, yeah, so we're feeling like that leftover stuff. So whenever we feel like, oh, hey, we tell the story of like, hey, kukui, kukui, kukui. Yeah. But it's just like, yo, it wasn't kukui before.
Right.
It was like our ancestors were calling those people for us to do that work. Now it's kukui because our grandparents are no longer telling us these stories, you know what I mean? Yeah. We're like, we're disconnected.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I remember growing up, dude, and like not having, you know, a lot of shit to do. The technology was totally different back then. And it was like, what are you going to do, right? Just hang out, just tell some stories, tell some ghost stories, listen to our grandparents, you know, talk about some freaky shit. And that time that I saw that shit, man, it was like, I told my mom right away as soon as I got home, and she was like, you know, just go to sleep, mijo. Everything's all right. You're home, obviously. I'm not going to go to sleep after some crazy shit like that. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. But still, she's like, just go to sleep, mijo. And like, all right, whatever. I'm staying up trying to think about it. But like the next day, she tells me her own story. You know what I mean?
But think about
and
this,
it's
though,
crazy.
Our elders had it right, because back then, like, even though we embrace technology, and the irony of the situation is we're recording this all with, you know, phones and computers and whatnot.
Right.
We are nature. We are ants. We are deer. We are air, water. We are nature. We're creatures. So it's sad that we're getting the separation. We're using technology, advancements with vehicles, clothing, egos.
Separation.
Dude, we're nature. Like, if you think about it, we are plant. We are animals.
So what you say is, like, the further and further from nature we're getting disconnected.
Exactly.
It's like the further from existence or reality, or the meaning
itself,
right?
So we're living this false reality, man. We're like, you know what? my goal is to wake up in the morning, make some money so I can buy the newest Yeezys, or I want some new jeans, or I want to see this new movie. When it's all, it's cool to do that stuff, but understand the bigger picture. And the bigger picture is, we need to take care of this planet. We need to take care of these trees, the grass, the water we have, everything, yeah, man. Like, that's why I'm at this point now in my life. And
we're just
I'm thankful
it,
to the peyote, man. Because it opens up my eyes to the real, true reality of why we're supposed to be alive. Because there's going to come a point in time where we're not going to be around. And, like, what did we do?
Right.
What was your life purpose?
What, like, did we destroy?
Yeah. Well, exactly.
What I'm saying. Like, that's what I'm
it's
saying,
not,
man.
What did we do? It's like, oh, shit, what did we destroy?
And it's like, yo, life is so short. Life is so short.
It is, man.
So there's no reason for us to, like, not be able to, like, take advantage of us wanting to be taking care of the planet.
Right. I think that should be our first focus. Take care of the planet and take care of all living creatures.
I mean, family's first, man. Family's first.
Family's first, yeah.
Take care of
your family.
But how are you going to take care of your family if the water's contaminated?
That's true.
That's what I'm saying, though. Like, so I'm saying that you got to, like, we definitely got to be the example of what it is to, like, take care of our families. What it is to take to be the example of what to the rest of our families.
To teach the kids.
Yeah, to teach the kids, to teach our families, to teach your parents. Like, we have to come back. Like, I mean, I always said my mom is like a crazy, like a recycling woman. No matter where we at, she always puts together.
All our moms.
Yeah.
The same way, dude.
And so, like, you know, it's kind of like, you know, we got to completely fulfill what they were doing, the legacy. But at the same time, like, we also have to just remember, like, we are human. We are loving. We have to, like, come back to it all. We have to, like,
But the other thing too, what's hard, like, you're completely right on fulfilling what they wanted, because it is the truth. But it's difficult because we're a generation of people who are experienced. Like, there was never cell phones before, right? Like the way we have now. Yeah. We have the world at our fingertips. This was 10 years ago. This shit didn't exist, man.
I think at the same time, that makes it hard, because it kind of makes us want it more.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
So
that's what makes it hard.
That's what I'm saying. You have to separate. That's why they say more psychedelic drugs to help separate that whole type
of
reality.
Open,
like,
up your third eye.
It's like, you know what,
like,
dude,
that,
you need to understand what's really going on. And it gives you an appreciation for, like, dude, we literally have this little fucking screen that fucking gives us the world. Like, we can get music and all this. So I appreciate this, but I know this is not the bigger picture.
How do I not spend fucking 13 hours
on
this
looking
thing,
at my screen,
you know, all day long?
Yeah.
You know, so instead of going out and, you know, doing what we're doing right now.
You know, it's funny because we, you and I,
yeah,
we're all conscious of that shit.
Yeah.
But think about the people who are not conscious of that shit, and they're just on it all the time.
Yeah.
And they develop a culture behind, like, just being fucked up behind
it. So our job should be to inform these people and teach them, like, hey man, it's cool to be on your phone, but look, I'm just gonna give you the twist. Like, this is what's going on, and if you're informed, it's kind of like, you know, doing our cause for the bigger battle. You know, it's like, hey, being on your phone is cool and appreciating it because it's technology and something we never had, but understand that's not what you should live for. Not to have the newest iPhone, not to have, you know, the biggest flat screen TV. Like, it's cool to have.
Yeah, not to be, like, so completely up to date on technology
and
all that kind of crazy shit.
Even if you are, make sure you're being out, you're outside, interacting, planting, doing your thing, man. Traveling,
that's what I'm saying. Like, when I be meeting, like, super rich ass people who have everything, they try their hardest to, like, be outside and to do all kinds of nature shit.
Yeah, man.
And so it's crazy because, like, the rest of us are just like, yo, we don't have none of that. But the minute that we get, like, maybe kind of a small-ass flat screen, we're stuck inside the house, like, just straight up watching it.
Yeah.
And so, like, yeah, it's crazy, man. So, like, you meet like, some rich white folks who are, like, they got everything, and they're, like, outside. I'm never actually inside my house. Or, I have a big-ass garden. Or, you know, I'm fucking raising deer, like, in my neighborhood. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's crazy, man.
Yeah, but I got to say, like, right here at the Mission, dude, like, the energy is a little bit different from where we were at earlier. Like, earlier by the water, it just seemed, like intense, dude.
Intense, yeah, man.
It just seemed like a, like, real, like, whole, like, you know, crazy,
because
total
because,
difference
because
dude.
You understand, people didn't want to be here. Like, this is not where people wanted to hang out and be,
right?
But the water was a necessity, so you had so many different forms of life, animals, humans growing to that water right there.
Well, so let me ask you think that there's spirits here?
I mean,
I definitely think so.
Yeah, for sure. At the same time, do I think that they're, you know, harmful, or do I think that they're, you know, doing anything crazy? Probably not. I mean, it seems pretty peaceful here, but at the same time, man, a lot of this is history here, man. Like, it's just crazy, man. You really don't know, man.
But it goes back to that question, like, you know, if there are spirits here, you know, are we going to be affected? Because we're not coming in here in a negative way. We're coming in here in a positive way with good energy. And I firmly believe that I'm not worried about spirits because I come in peace, so to say. You know, I know it's cliche, but I come here in a good way. Like, I'm not worried about any type of...
Yeah, we're not vandalizing.
All our native ancestors that got killed here, which I know they did, and they're buried here. They understand. They're probably chilling, watching us, and, you know, their orbs and their energies. Like, all right, these young native brothers are trying to figure shit out, and
I just had a ceremony here literally a few days ago. We had a ceremony in that back room over here.
Uh-huh.
And then we walked all the way over to the church right here, and we danced in front of the church for the Mexica dance. And so,
how was it?
It was amazing, man. It was pretty good. Amazing, yeah. It's funny because, like, usually whenever I dance in front of the Mission Espada, I feel like somebody's pulling my feet down to the ground. It's so hard to dance.
Heavy?
But yeah, super heavy. But this year, it felt perfect.
Yeah.
It was perfect.
It was good.
Maybe you made your peace with them and the spirits and their ancestors.
I kind of felt that, yeah, man. I felt like we made some peace this year, but yeah, the 40th anniversary of my group.
Well, one thing we need to start doing is we need to start sweating more. That's what we need to do. Like,
yeah, I'm down with that.
Get a sweat lodge going, more ceremonies, because that's our part of passing on our history. Because I think about it, if we don't pass on, like, once we have kids and stuff like that, and we're not passing on that knowledge, it's going to die down and be gone. Like,
I give you guys props, man, because you guys carry that shit on, man.
And I get a lot of fights.
Doing
like,
it.
You see me
you
all the time.
You teach people, you show them, man. But without you guys like you, you're right, man. It'll die off.
Exactly,
dude.
Like
you said, man, you got to keep teaching the young ones, dude, about it.
And I enjoy doing it. I don't even feel like it's a job, because people, like, you know, when I'm there talking with people on Facebook, they're like, what are you going to do with your life? And I'm like, sit up in more ceremonies and eat more medicine. And they shut the fuck up because they understand, they know that I'm not lying about that. Like, that's what I'm going to do, because I learned that and I feel within myself that that's what I need to do and pass on that legacy and that knowledge to the next generation. And I'm still learning every day. I know we all are.
Yeah.
You know, even till the day we die, we're learning every day. And, you know, death.
And so do you think that, like, when you do eat the medicine, do have ceremonies, do you think that really, like, connects you to the spiritual world, but
dimensions,
like,
energy.
Dimensions. There's times, do you feel like you get connected with your ancestors a little bit more?
Check this out.
How do you feel?
When I eat medicine, I connect it to math. It's crazy to say that, because I've eaten so much medicine before, and it could vary. You know, some people can eat one button, some people can eat 1,000 buttons, whatever, you know. And I've eaten enough medicine where I look at the ground and I see the earth shaking like an earthquake. I've closed my eyes and I see geometrical shapes and angles and like black holes of lines. Like, you ever did, like, you know, when you do the crossing of your X, Y, and you're like drawing it, I see that in blues and whites and hues when I close my eyes. Like, there is energy
so
out
the,
there.
With the amount of medicine that you would eat, or maybe the Aztecs or the Mayans or whoever, really the Mayans basically,
everybody.
Amount that they would eat or whatever else they were taking at the time, I mean, dude, they created the calendar, bro. You know what I'm saying?
Like, that's what I'm saying, man.
That is intense. What you're saying right now is intense.
They definitely, I'm saying, like, they definitely had, like, some kind of, like, understanding. And they had, like, scientists and scientific understandings of what it was to just, like, exist. And so they developed all this. But it's funny because, like, I feel like the genetic, the DNA of who we are has that. So whenever we take medicine, that shit comes out naturally.
It unlocks the
door. It unlocks those doors that we already know.
But that's what I was telling you about, being able to use your hands. Like I said, hey, so, man, have you ever noticed that you're pretty good with your hands? And, like, you know, we can create things, we can fix things with our hands, we do things, we build things. Like, you ever noticed that?
Not many people can do that.
Some people can play instruments.
So it's genetically passed down.
Yeah.
But check this out, though. I think back then the reason they were able to create all this stuff is because, I know it's perfect sense and it makes sense and it's true, because, like, every day we have to get up, go work, pay bills, do this and that, go through this monotonous bullshit for capitalism. Back then, they didn't have that. Like, you woke up and it's like, let's obtain knowledge. So they'd go down the river, drink water, eat medicine, hunt, and, like, understand all day.
And see those visions that you've seen too.
Dude, you wasn't there like, let me do some check-ins on Facebook. Let me go pay these bills. I got to set this computer all day.
Let's figure this out. There were some points where there was like downtime, and they were just straight up looking out to the horizon of the sun. They were just taking in the planet. Can you imagine that? Like, none of us do that any fucking more at all, man. We're like, the rest of us are like so disconnected from the planet We don't pay attention to none of that shit.
I remember we went to go see, we went to Chichen Itza, and they were explaining to us, like, what they would do. There's the observatory, there's everything that was there, and they explained to us how some of the kids were chosen when they were born. They were, like, they would set something up in front of them, it would, like, be right in the middle of their eyes, right? They're trying to set something up in the middle of their eyes so that they would go cross-eyed on purpose. So when they would look at the stars, they would, you know, they would do it on purpose. It was just so weird why they would do it.
That's crazy,
you know what I'm saying, right?
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
They would put, like, maybe, like, a piece of a stone or something and hang it on the top of their forehead, and it would make them go cross-eyed. But they would do it when they were really, really young. And so they would end up being cross-eyed no matter what. And then they would take that stone off, and then they would look into the sky and, like, be able to see things a certain way.
Be able to, yeah.
For sure. To see the stars a certain way.
That's like dedicated star children, you know what I mean?
That is, dude. Like, you're picked to do something, you know, specific.
Dude, think about the Mayans. They built an observatory.
Like, yeah, dude.
Dude, they were able to predict certain things, and, like, people are like, you know, back in the day with 2012 and all that, dude, we don't have the technology and the knowledge to decipher what they fucking knew. Like, we're behind. We're lacking. Dude, the other day we were talking about this. We can't even build a fucking pyramid. And yeah, this goes to different cultures,
precision.
Too.
That's what we're talking about. The precision.
The Greeks with the Acropolis.
The cuts,
any
the
Machu
cuts
Picchu,
they use
anywhere.
With all the technology we have, we can't duplicate it. We can't duplicate
But even
the,
at that, even if we were
shit.
Able to duplicate it, how the fuck did they move these stones? How
that's
the fuck did they know this,
another,
you know?
That theory is always crazy. It's always there. It's always connected with the, you know, they always say, oh, the UFOs. Somebody had to come down. Somebody had to show them. Aliens. Somebody had to show them. There's no way in hell that they would be able to make something so massive. And at the same time, Egyptians, though?
Yeah.
Way on the other side, you know, like, how did they have the same...
Pangaea. We discussed Pangaea.
So how far apart is Mexico from Egypt? And how the hell
thousands
did they,
of miles.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, I've also
the
heard that
same designs, like similar designs.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I've also heard that, like, so, like, if they were called alien creations, is that they are points of power that help to balance the health of the planet, because they help to harness a power of the planet, and they help to balance the planet. And so that's the reason why some of those pyramids are there. So, like, the pyramids of Egypt,
the alignment,
the pyramids of Mexico,
well, said, is that
the pyramids of Chichen Itza, and, like,
yeah,
they all kind of have, like, this frequency that they kind
but
of
the astronomy, though. That's
yeah,
what it's all
yeah,
tied
that's
to.
What I'm saying. So, like, those are, like, they help to kind of keep the planet alive and ensure.
What do you think about the black hole? What do you think's on the other side? Another dimension, like another galaxy?
I don't know, man. But the idea that the black hole has been, like, spotted,
it took so long.
Even though it's, like, blurry and it's, like, you could see it, like, I don't know. I kind of feel like, yo, it's getting closer. You know what I'm saying? And that's something that's, like, you know, I don't know. Like, I kind of feel like that's kind of strange,
Did
man.
You see recently that kid, though, that he found the other pyramid in Mexico, and he was able to kind of, like, do the research and figure out, like, how it was aligned with Orion's belt? And so he found out how... where it was at, because that's how they aligned it. That's when they were looking at the stars and they aligned certain pyramids. They aligned it with Orion's belt. And so he figured that shit out, and that's how they found one of the third pyramids that's out there. It was in the middle of the jungle.
You know,
it was
crazy.
Covered.
Dude, the Great Pyramid over there in Egypt is aligned with Orion's
belt.
That's what I'm saying.
How the fuck is it that they both were doing the same shit, man?
There was no cell phones. There was no email.
No, he didn't send him no text or
I
nothing.
Know.
Say, hey, I got this idea for this crazy ass shit.
Yo, I'm curious about that. I haven't even heard about that.
But
there's pyramids still underneath the jungle in Mexico that they haven't discovered.
Undiscovered.
Yeah.
Undiscovered. And that goes back again to what you're talking about, of being, like, disruptive to the spirits, you know, digging up things, digging up artifacts, digging up all their bones. Like, come on, man.
But you
like,
know what's crazy? It's like nature was a defense, and it covered everything up for them, you know? And
that's what I'm saying, man. Like, yeah, like, nature itself would, like,
protect
them. Nature itself would be like, yo, we don't need to talk about any of this.
And it's just, boom, grow over.
Grow over,
yeah,
later.
Little by little, it's being undiscovered, man. It's being discovered, and it's like...
Is it disrespectful to discover it, though, in a good way? though. Not digging up bones. That's that. I'm against
what's
that.
What's a good reason to dig up some bones, man?
To discover the pyramids. Do we consider pyramids in ancient cities the same thing as human remains?
We're trying to unlock the beginning. Is what we're doing. We're trying to figure out what really happened.
We're trying to remember where the fuck we come from. Yeah,
well, exactly. Sure, man. That's what I'm saying. We're trying to unlock.
And some of us need to to find that spiritual health.
Yeah, man. I mean, some of us do, but at the same time, if you're doing it for monetary gain, I mean,
that's where the problem is. Yeah, for sure.
That's where the problem is, man.
So check this out. This is the discussion we had the other day. If they say they came over here to the missions, dug up some native people, and they came out to be your relative, your great great grandfather, and they're like, "Hey, Joaquin, you know, we're gonna take them to a museum, and we'll pay you $2 million, but we're gonna, you know, is it disrespectful?" And you're like, "Nah, you need to put my great-grandparents, my family, my relatives back in the ground.
Or you take the money." Where they're at.
Would your great-grandparents be like, "You know what? Use us as science to learn and in a good way. Let us
Nah, my grandparents, well, definitely, see, that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. Well, my grandparents would definitely be like, "Yo,
leave me where the fuck I'm
leave
at.
Leave me the fuck I'm at. That, fuck science and fuck monetary
gain." Well, it goes like to what would you do, man? I mean, if you're thinking about this is my bones. Like, what the fuck? Leave me the fuck alone, man. Like,
I'd want to be left alone.
I want to be left alone. Same
that's what I'm saying. I want to be left alone now.
What happens if you ate a bunch of medicine or somehow you became enlightened and your ancestors came and like, "You know what? Let the world see how we live, you know, and accept the money to help your family and the generations."
Then I would understand, yeah.
Let them see all the crazy tats that I got.
Let them see my internet history.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, you don't want to see that. How is I got to clear that shit right away. Clear.
How is it there are some generations that understood how to mummify the body where the skin and everything's still intact? It's crazy the knowledge that humans had, man.
That's what we're talking about, like this, the buildings that were built back in the day, the pyramids and all that.
Yeah, let's walk back.
Yeah. How did those things, how are they still like around with the erosion and everything else?
I think you had so much time on your hands. Your goal wasn't to get the likes on Facebook or Instagram. It was like, let's see how we can help.
Let's make something last forever.
Exactly. I think we're out of tune with that. I honestly believe we're out of tune with that.
Yo, man, it's beautiful out tonight, man. This is crazy, man. There's little spots here.
The full moon and everything. The full moon. Is a trip, man.
The area's cold. It's beautiful. Of course, our women are like cold and tired. Yeah. They ain't trying to play this game.
Hey, but they're putting up with us, so
that's cool. Yeah, I'm saying this is cool, man. Mission Espada. I know the spirit's here. I know the energy's here. We didn't take too many pictures, but
that tree is something else, though. Man.
Yeah, man, it was old, man. It's crazy. I didn't pay attention, but I was gravitated to it anyway.
Yeah,
We didn't take a lot of pictures there, but
no, you saw it from far away, though. You were like, "Let's go to this tree." That's how massive it is.
Mission Espada is locked. It's closed up.
Wow.
Oh, yes. There you go, y'all. A wonderful conversation amongst indigenous people. Peace out to my man, Vicente Camacho and Sue Lopez. Of course, there in the spot where we had Savannah, Cassie Correa, my wife Lucha. We were all sitting there having these wonderful conversations. Of course, Natalie met us up at some point. We went and ate chicken wings, and we kind of took all this heaviness off our chest. It was a wonderful conversation, and I'm really glad that we got to have that experience. Yo, are you down to do that with me too, man? I'm super down to do that with y'all. I'm trying to have experiences in some of the craziest of areas of San Antonio. Let's go together. Let's have a conversation. Let's get into it in places like that. Word up. Cuvole. Anyway, I'm so glad you guys stayed tuned into Chicanx vs. Aliens podcast. Here we go, y'all. I'm super excited about what we've been doing. Let's keep it rolling. You want to support?
let's talk about how you can sponsor this podcast. So, of course, you have my the t-shirts that I've recently printed out. The Chicanx vs. Aliens podcast t-shirts has my logo in the front, done by Gabby Flores, with the disembodied head in the, on the chest. On the back, it has the 1954 Chevy pickup being abducted by aliens. White ink on black t-shirt. If you want to sponsor it as a local business of color, because this podcast, of course, is trying to focus on local people of color. And so if you're a local business of color, no matter if you're a local business of color brown, local business of color black, or LGBTQ, you are welcome to sponsor this podcast, and I welcome you and I open my arms to you. You can start off with $75, the Fantasma level. You get a sticker pack, a t-shirt, and you get one mention on the podcast. You want to start off at the occult member. That's $150. You get a sticker pack, a t-shirt, and you get three mentions on the podcast. And also, you have the, the fourth kind, the abducted experience. That's $250. You guys are welcome to put that in. Of course, you get a sticker pack, a t-shirt. You get five mentions on the podcast. Every podcast I put together, you will get a mention in the beginning. And you also get a six pack of beer. Boo-hoo! That's because I'm trying to drink a beer with you, you know what I'm saying? If you hooked up the podcast, that's what's up. But straight up, all my friends are welcome to join the podcast, to help the podcast. Give me a little here, give me a little there. You can hit my Venmo, you can hit my PayPal, you can hit my Cash App, you can hit my Apple Pay. I welcome everything that y'all can do. This is a very local podcast. I'm doing this at the minimal that we can. But I'm super, super stoked that we can all be together and we can all help this out. If you have experienced any kind of UFO, if you have ever experienced any kind of alien abduction, if you are LGBTQ, I will not discount your experience. I want you to know that it is important that all black, brown, LGBTQ experiences will be given equal treatment in the conversation. This is different what's happening with popular mainstream UFO and paranormal experiences. I want the brown, the black, and the LGBTQ folks to be known. I'm bigging you up. I'm bigging you up, and I want to hear your voices. Straight up. Thank you so much for tuning in. Chicanx vs. Aliens podcast. Peace.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.